The last time I was here, I did something that I had never done before, and then I called Kirky and I explained to her what I had done, and we were at a restaurant, and she laughed so hard she almost fell off of her chair, and I didn't appreciate that humor that she had, because I was confessing to something that was very embarrassing to me. Then, so I thought, well, I'll call Geraldine, and she'll certainly give me the empathy that I need. So I called her, and I met her, and I told her the story, and she laughed so hard at the restaurant that she actually did fall out of the chair. So let me tell you, there's no clock in here, and I have a tendency to get going. So I was trying to be very respectful of the time, and so I brought from my office a clock, and I set it on the podium. It was a battery-operated clock. And I noticed when I brought it in that I had jiggled the handles and arms, and so I reset it here at the table. And I brought it up and I set it on this podium. And I did not know the clock, the second hand was ticking, 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 but the clock itself, the battery had run out. And so I'm looking at this clock up here thinking, where? The time is dragging by. And so I went about 15 minutes too long and thought I was 15 minutes early. The clock battery started slowing down while I was up here, or something happened anyway. So I went to confess this to these two dear friends of mine, and they just roared, thinking that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. And so I apologize to you that I went way over, but it really wasn't my fault. It was the clock. So this morning, in great ceremony, I will take off my watch so I can actually... Now, if I stay at the podium, I'll be fine because I'll be able to see it. But if I walk around, I may go 15 minutes over. No, I won't. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bless your holy name, and we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the ladies that have gathered here today. We thank you for your word, more than anything, we thank you for your word that is alive and gives us life and gives us directions on our lives and what you're doing in the world. Thank you for the lesson today, and we ask your blessings upon this teaching. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I want you to do something before we get started. Someplace on a blank piece of paper, I want you to write a word or a phrase that will remind you of a promise that God has spoken into your heart, like Mary, that maybe hasn't been fulfilled yet. But it's just, maybe it's something for your children, or maybe it's something about your marriage, or maybe it's something about some relative or some calling or something that God really, you believe that God's kind of spoken into your heart that may or may not have happened. I'm going to give you just a few minutes to just jot down a word that'll remind you of that as we're going along. Just to jog your memory. Because in the lesson today, we are looking at people of faith. We're looking at Mary. We're looking at of Noah and of Joseph and of Hannah and of Abraham, and we understand the promises that God spoke to them and how they walked those promises out. And I'm going to focus mostly on Mary today, and then I'm going to take it to a different level. And I'm going to call this the two sides of blessings. You know already, if you know me at all, you know that I can only teach you from the things that I'm being taught myself. And so this is out of what God is teaching me. I thought I'd share it with you and see if it gets any clearer as I speak it, as it does when I pray it, which sometimes is not that clear. I also want you to do one other thing. If you can, in your purse or somebody next to your use purse, take out a coin. A dollar, it doesn't matter. If you take out a $20, you have to leave those on the table, though. And I'll collect those later. Take out a coin if you can. The two sides of blessings. And if you look at this coin, I have a quarter here, but I also have for demonstration later a dollar. Can you see this? Okay, on this coin, you will notice there are two sides to this coin. One side of the coin has a person on it, a head of someone. And the other side has a symbol of something. This one happens to have an eagle. On one side, the head side, is the personal side of the blessings of God. This is when God speaks so quietly in the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Or when the Word of God jumps off of the page and it resonates inside of you with a resounding promise or a resounding statement that it's so personal to you only. Or maybe it's when someone speaks from the platform and it resonates and rings in your heart something personal that you think, gosh, that is exactly what I needed to hear this morning. Or maybe it's in a Bible study or a Sunday school lesson where the Holy Spirit speaks in a personal way. And in your life, has God spoken to you a promise in a personal way? In the story that we have today, and in the stories that we've read about, God spoke to these people in a personal way. And it's awesome in that time. I've been there. I've done that. When the Holy Spirit, in the hours of my prayer time, in the evening maybe, when I'm quieting my spirit and I'm reading the Word of God and I'm praying, and all of a sudden the presence of the Holy Spirit begins to just speak to me in His Spirit, into my spirit. Sometimes I write those things down. Sometimes I've been sitting in a Sunday service and the Holy Spirit, the minister is ministering and the Holy Spirit is really stirring inside of me. And I begin to identify with what's being spoken. And there's inside of me this personal experience going on. In the stories, there's a personal side of the promises of God. On the flip side of every coin is a symbol. It's not personal. This is the time where the promise is waiting. It's a symbol for us today of the waiting period between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. And the flipping back and forth between the personal and the waiting, the personal and the distant God, the personal when it spoke so clearly and I'm not so sure anymore, the personal time when it was so resonating in your spirit, but yet now I wonder if I really did know that or hear that. Did that scripture really say that? Because I've read it since then and it doesn't resonate the same way it did when there was the personal side. Because now there's the symbolic side of that. And what I want to do is I want to take the life of Mary and I want to do this sided thing. So for this time, I'm going to use this, the personal side, the symbolic side. How many of your promises are in this stage right now? You don't have to raise your hand, but just think. I know I heard the promise of God. I have it resonating still in my spirit, but I sometimes doubt. I sometimes wonder. I don't understand what He said in the personal isn't manifesting now in the reality. The flipping of the blessings of God. This is the fun side of the blessings of God. When it radiates in your spirit and the joy of the Lord overtakes you and the Holy Spirit overshadows you. This is the hard side of holding on to that promise. So let's look quickly at the story of Mary. And I want to read this story to you. And It's out of the lesson, but it's a little bit more extended than the lesson. It starts where the lesson began. It says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." The angel, the personal relationship, the personal word of God. Mary was troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Talk about a personal manifest, a personal declaration of the promise of God. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am God's servant," Mary said. "May it be unto me as you have said." Then the angel left. At that time, Mary got up and readied and hurried to the town in the hills, the country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she proclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of their greetings reached my ear, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ear, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believes that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." This is a demonstration of the power of a personal promise of God. The face-to-face, the angel standing there saying to her, "You are going to have this happen." Telling her that Elizabeth is in their sixth month, and Mary going to her home and Elizabeth opening the door and she is big with child, so that is a confirmation of what the angel had said to her. Personal. Easy to believe. I believe in this chapter, though I would not diminish the act of faith in this at all. But here I find it easy to believe the promise of God when an angel standing in front of me, speaking to me. I've never had that happen, but I have had the Holy Spirit overcome me so much that I knew that this was Him speaking in my and resonating in my heart. I had no problem believing it. I had no problem declaring it. I had no problem telling people. I had no problem at that moment in time, shortly after that, the personal relationship of that was so real to me that I began to speak it and have people speak back to me affirmation and confirmation and encouragement and the joy of sharing in the promise that God had given me. I believe it's easy to believe. I believe faith is easy when an angel's standing in front of you, or when the Holy Spirit's resonating, or when the minister is speaking and it's reading your mail. It's easy to believe those promises of God in the light of His personal self. That's the personal side of the blessing. It's easy to believe it when the confirmation of the words of Elizabeth says to her, "You are highly chosen and favored, and who am I to receive the Lord?" She opens the door and immediately begins to confirm what the angel had told Mary in his presence. Mary has no problem believing. It's easy to believe in that environment of encouragement when Mary and Elizabeth have the same thing going on inside of them, a miracle from the living God. It's easy to believe that in the midst of those, in the midst of that atmosphere. It's easy to believe it in the celebration of confirmation. Wow, God said that. I believe that with you. I'll stand with you with that one. I'll stand shoulder to shoulder. I'll pray with you. I believe that that is what God spoke to you. I feel that. I feel a confirmation in my own spirit that that's really the truth. You've been there with the excitement, and then somebody catching that excitement, and somebody encouraging you in that, and praying with you in that, and standing with you in that, and launching you in that. It's easy to have the faith then. And in that environment, the personal side of that, when you look at a coin and you see this face, and you think about the personal side of God and the Holy Spirit, this isn't the time of true faith testing. That's a measure of faith to believe it in that environment. On Sunday morning, in the quiet of your prayer time, in the overpowering of the Word of God, that it just brings joy to your heart as you read it and you know that He's spoken that to you today personally. That's your scripture and you claim it and you write it down, and that's a measure of faith to believe. That's a mustard seed of faith to believe. But Mary had stayed in that cocoon of encouragement and strength and in affirmation and celebration with a woman who had as much at stake in the personal message of God as Mary did. So she stayed there 3 months, and I'm sure she was encouraged and she was mentored and she was edified and she was built up. And then came the day when she had to leave Elizabeth and go back home. Now she goes back into a village, 3 months pregnant now. She's got to go tell her mother. How many mothers sat in this room when they had news that broke their heart? But this mother is supposed to believe this daughter when she says, "Mother, I'm pregnant, and I'm pregnant with a Messiah. I'm pregnant with the Son of God." Nobody's asked you to stretch your faith that big and believe that much. And here, the children of Israel, all of their life, the Jewish nation, every woman prayed that she would be the woman that would deliver the Messiah. Then when that didn't happen in her lifetime and her age advanced and she got beyond that, she prayed that for her daughter. And her daughter prayed that for herself. And her daughter prayed that for her daughter. For generations and generations and generations they had prayed that I would be the chosen one. Until Mary says, "I am the chosen one." Now where's your faith? Mary's staring the cold, white, blood rushing to the bottom of her feet, mother, as she says, "Mother, I'm going to have a baby. I've never been with a man. It's the angel of the Lord appeared to me, and He spoke to me." And in that environment, where's your faith when now you're facing not the personal angel anymore, but the face of the mother, and the face of the father, and the face of the brother, and the face of the sister, as she tells the story over and over and over? And instead of affirmation and celebration, there's doubt and unbelief, and there's questioning, and there's maybe a little bit of torture in the questioning, and the intensity, and the knowing she goes to sleep at night knowing her mother does not believe her, knowing that her father is wrestling with the, "How could this ever have happened in my family?" The brothers looking at her and turning their face in shame. The sisters avoiding her, or maybe whispering in the nighttime. If they don't avoid her in the daytime, they avoid her at night in the whisper. "How could this possibly be? How could Mary have gotten away with this? Where would this have happened at? She was with us all the time. She never was out of our sight. How could this be?" Then not only does she have to face her family and the glare of the symbol of that faith, she has to face Joseph, the man she loves, the man she's committed to, the man who's committed to her. Surely of all the people who know me so well, he will know me. But the scripture says in Romans, the scripture says Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she found she was with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So she tells this man, who she feels for sure will believe her, for sure will stand by her because he knows her character. And he says, this is not possible. And he goes back and he wrestles with the idea and he comes up with the solution. I'll divorce her. I'll set her free. This is not the celebration. This isn't the personal. This is the symbolic act of faith. This is the standing and the standing firm with what God has promised you. When no one believes you, when the story is too spectacular, when the truth is so far from what your life looks like today, or what your children's life looks like today, or what your marriage looks like today, or what your calling looks like today, or what your financial situation looks like today. This is so impossible for me outside to believe. And so now, in the crucible of time, from the time the promise was given to the time the promise is yet to be fulfilled, I've still got to have that faith. And this is no measure of faith. This is no mustard seed of faith. This is foundational faith. This is the character of God faith. This is believing when the circumstances look impossible. This is believing the scripture that says all things are possible. That God calls things that are not as though they were. Because I know in the personal time of my relationship with the Holy Spirit, or my personal devotion, or my personal sitting in that Sunday morning service and hearing that sermon preached at that particular moment in time, I knew that that was the arm of God directing and instructing that. It's in this time that this, I've got to have faith enough in my personal relationship to believe in the symbolic faith of that. I'm sure it wasn't so pleasant because we know in the scriptures there's a song of Mary, and at Elizabeth's house she sings this song, and she sings, this song goes like this, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he is mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed. When she went back home, I bet you they didn't call her blessed. When she had to go back and tell the city, the town people, as she grew great with child, and she had to function in that small town, I bet they weren't calling her blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. She wasn't thinking that maybe in the dark corners of her mat on the floor when everyone had rejected her that day. Or when it didn't turn out the way she thought it was going to turn out. She thought she would go home to celebration. She would go home to affirmation. She would go home to confirmation, just like she had with Elizabeth. And instead, she got long stares and turning away and whispered voices. She got the threat of a divorce. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the Most High. And he's brought down the rulers of the throne and lifted up the humble. It's easy to sing the songs of praise in the presence of encouragement and affirmation and acceptance. But when time marches on and the days are checked off and the calendar is flipped over and taken down and a new one put up, year after year after year after year, the present personal relationship of God does come to us in those times, but we have to hold on to the original promise of God. We read about Abraham. If you think about the fact that 40 years had passed, and for some of us, it's been longer than 40 years for the promise of God, and we still don't see it fulfilled. There was 400 years the children were in Egypt. They never saw the promise. The Bible says that holy people would love to see what we see today, the promises being fulfilled of God in the Son, and the redemption, and the coming back together of the sinful man and the righteous and the holy God through the cross of Calvary. So lots of us may never see the promise that God has spoken deep inside of our hearts. We may never see our grandchildren that we're praying fervently for today ever accept Jesus Christ while we're here. We may never see our marriage healed and restored this side like we believe it's supposed to be in the promise of God. Or our children, or our finances, or our health, or whatever it is that God has promised you on your paper today. That would be hard to believe that. That would be difficult to press that on through. In the crucible of time, what are you doing with the faith that God generated in the personal, in the symbolic of time? I'm saying this because I am in the crucible of time. And I am not always standing and standing firm. I'm not always holding fast to what I know that I know. Yeah, it's easy at that time. It's easy to believe it when the Holy Spirit is stirring it, but it's been a long time. And it's still not there. In the fire of the in the heat of the refiner's fire, when everything that you believe is absolutely going in the wrong direction, and the testing of your whole self is being is in that fire of time. And the promises are so dim now, and the face so obscured, and the voice so silent, and the distance so great between the promise and where I stand now. What am I going to do with this time? I'm sure that when Mary and Joseph, when the angel appeared to Joseph, and now Joseph had that faith because he had met with the personal side of God, and the angel had spoken and said, don't be afraid, take Mary as your wife. Then the angel comes and he says, now get, you know, go to Egypt, and because the king is out to kill the baby Jesus, and so I need you to leave. When that, all those things happened, those were great and wonderful presents, personal things. There are times when I'm sure they doubted what in the world had really happened. Can you imagine the faith that it took in the manger that night? To believe what I heard was really real? I'm going to have the Son of God in a manger amongst animals? No one to help me? No one to show me? My mother's not here. A midwife's not here. My sisters aren't here. Nobody's here except me alone with this. This delivering, this birthing. How many of you right now are alone in the birthing process of the promise that God has given you for whatever? Your grandchildren, your husband, your health, your children. And you think, I know God said this when my child was dedicated. I know I heard them say, this child we'll do this. And this child is so far from that. And you're alone in the dark. No one's standing. Even if they could stand with you. Even if they wanted to stand with you. There's a time in the darkness, in the refiner's fire, that only you can stand and stand firm in the promise of God. The symbol of that. Standing. In the shadow of the valley. What are you doing with that promise? And we all go through valleys. It's fun to stand on the mountaintops and see forever. It's fun to stand on the mountaintops and see the clarity of the valley below and the future out in front. But it's really difficult to stand in the shadows of the valleys. How many of you this morning are in a valley? Maybe you're in a valley of decision, and I don't know which decision to make. I don't know which way to go. And I'm crying and I'm praying and I'm reading my scriptures, and still the voice of God is so distant. I can hardly hear it. Maybe I can't hear it at all. In the quiet standing and standing firm, those promises have to be the place where you sink your roots deep and believe in the impossible God. Because it is in the symbol of that promise, not in the personal of that promise, that we have to be able to take our faith and go. That's not little faith. That's great faith. That's assuring faith. That's blessed faith. That's resting faith. Why? Because we know the character of God, and it says that God keeps His promises. It says that everything with God is yes and amen. There's no badness in God. He's not going to promise you something that jumps and makes your heart leap with joy just to say, ha, 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 I'm really not going to give it to you. It is in those times of the promise and the fulfillment that I ask, what are we as people of faith demonstrating to the world? The character of God that we know, are we demonstrating that? Or are we flopping around like a fish out of water, one day this way and one day that way and one day up and one day down and one day believing and one day not believing? When Mary sat at the foot of the cross, where is the promise of God at the foot of a cross? This isn't what you promised me. I forgot about the part that says your heart will be pierced. I remember the wise men bowing down with gifts to my child. That's the promise of God. Shepherds coming in and saying, I heard a host of angels singing. That's the promise of God. Turning the water into wine, that's the promise of God. Healing the sick and raising the dead, that's the promise of God. Not the foot of a cross with my child dying. We know the end of the story. She didn't know the end of the story that day. Where was the faith? What was the promises? How do you marry those two images together? How do we marry the promise of God with the reality of life? We measure it and we marry it because we know the character of God. The testing time. Are you in that testing time? Are you in that waiting time? Have you taken that promise of God and wrapped it in pretty packages? Given all the excuses why it hasn't happened, and you've put it on the top shelf in a back corner of the last bedroom that you ever go in, and you've stuck it in the top shelf, and you've put things in front of the promise of God, and settled for the fact that that, probably I heard it wrong, I got it wrong. Kirky was talking to me not long ago, and this same thing that I'm telling you, I was just telling her. I got it wrong. Because what I heard has come and passed. What I heard did not manifest in reality. In the presence of God, it was easy to believe. And the date clicked along, and the date came and went, and she called me, she emailed me and said, what did God say to you today? And God was so far from me and so distant from me, I didn't even know how to hear His voice, let alone what He was saying. In the crucible of time, we stand. The maturing faith steps in and takes hold of us. And we begin to pull scriptures out of ourselves and out of the Word of God. And we begin to say, I know that God is a good God. I know that what the enemy intended for evil, He'll turn into good. If I will glorify Him and praise Him in the midst of this, that is a manifestation of the faith that I have in the character of who God is. It doesn't make the promise come any quicker. It doesn't make God change His mind and drop that promise in. I tried it. It didn't work. In the refiner's fire, in the valley of the shadow, in the separation when the personal God isn't there, the symbol of who He is must be resonant in our hearts and in our minds. We must take captive the thoughts to make them obedient to Christ. We must believe the Scriptures that says that He's a good God, that there's no badness in Him, that there's no darkness in the light. In the midst of the shadow of, in the valley of the shadow, it looks pretty dark. But there's no darkness in Him. There's no evil in Him. There's no ill will toward you in Him. He's not punishing you. We are in the age of grace. And He's gracious toward you. And gracious toward me. It's a growing faith that says, I know that I don't see the end, but I know that God is faithful to do exactly what He said He was going to do. And whether I see my grandchildren raising their hands and walking up to an altar and accepting Jesus Christ, if God has told you that that grandchild will be, then you have to go to your grave believing the promise of God in the crucible of time when you don't see and I don't see. I have to go to my grave believing that God did promise me that. Though I did not see it manifested, it's manifesting itself. I don't know how that's supposed to look. Maybe it is manifesting. Maybe it has done it, and I didn't know what God was doing, just like Mary in the manger, had no idea what she was doing. But we know the symbol of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords being born into a body, into a manger, where there's just like you and me. He had to do the same things. That must have been so confusing for Joseph and Mary to walk that out. In the crucible of time. It must have been torture to see your dreams dying on a cross when you don't know the resurrection morning. We know the story of Abraham and him being willing to sacrifice Isaac. We know the end, but he didn't know the end. He only had the faith to say that we will return. How that's going to happen, I don't know. And that's what we, in the time between the personal and the symbolic, we've got to be able to stand and say, I just know we'll return. I just know somehow God will turn this horrible thing into something that is a blessing. Both to me, to my children, to the community, to the church, the body of believers, whatever that is. The assurance of faith. We have to move beyond the personal of faith, which I believe is easy to believe, to the standing and the firm and the confirmation of faith and the maturing of faith and the growing of faith and the believing of faith. And the only way that you and I can do that is if we know that in the fiery furnace, there's the fourth person. If we know the promise in the Word of God, hidden in our hearts, that we can meditate on it in the midst of the phone call or the doctor visit, are the bad news that counters what God has promised us in the personal. We have to be able to stand. The two sides of the blessings of God. Remember, it's easy in the personal time. It's not so easy in the symbolic time, the waiting time, the believing time, the standing firm times. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 8, let me read this. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope that does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will someone die for the righteous man, though for a good man someone might dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There comes a place of resting faith when the doubt of people's stares magnifies your own doubt. When the discouragement of the whispers discourage your own spirit. When the dark valley looks deep and alone and God seems so far and distant, there is that place of resting faith that says, I know that He promised me this. I don't know what it's going to look like. It certainly is not looking like I thought it was going to look. It certainly has not manifested itself the way I thought it was going to, or even the way that I thought I heard it. But God very seldom rewards us with what we think He's going to reward us with. And so today, as we look at Mary, and we look at Abraham, and we look at Hannah, and we look at Noah, and we look at Joseph, and the great faith, or the faith that they had at those great times, and the faith that they had in the testing times, and the faith that they had when it really did happen, and the faith that you will have in the testing times, and the faith you will have when it really happens, when you see that grandson raise his hand in a church service and say, yes, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and your heart dances. Or when he calls you up and he says, your child calls you up and says, Mom, we decided we're going to work on this just a little bit longer. Or when your husband says, you know what, I really thought about asking you for a divorce, but I have decided. Or maybe it isn't that at all. It's some promise that God's given you about a ministry that you want or that you desire, or that you feel that God has placed in your heart and seems out of reach right now. Or an issue, a promise of health, a promise of financial stability, a promise of whatever those things are that you wrote down. In the crucible of time, what are we doing with those is the question. When the baby's born in a manger, when the mother doesn't believe, when the brothers doubt, when it's not the ideal confirmation and encouragement, what are we doing? So the next time you take out a quarter or a dime or a penny, next time you put it in the slot of your parking meter, or you pick it out to give it to the grocery clerk, or you whatever, look at it and say, I may be in the presence, the personal. I may have the words resonating in my heart right now, and that is so awesome. Thank you. I have said in that moment of personal relationships the same thing that Mary said when she says, let it be unto me as you have spoken. I've said that in that moment in time. Let it be unto me as you have spoken. And then I dreamed what that spoken would look like as it played itself out. Or maybe you're in the symbol stages. I know what he said, and I'm just standing and walking it out now. And I'm claiming the Word of God, and I'm believing the Word of God, and I'm doing the Word of God, and I'm speaking the Word of God, and I'm praising the Lord, and I'm going to stand and stand firm in the midst of the time of waiting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your presence. And we love those times when You're so real to us. And the shadow, we've been overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's come and it's placed within us, the promise. And we hold it dearly and tightly and rejoice in it and sing songs in it and believe the greatest in it. And we share it and people affirm it and confirm it and encourage us and model it for us. And we walk in that personal blessings. But God, I also know and have learned that there's a flip side. There's two sides to the blessings. And the other side is the walking out of the promise of God. And so I pray for every lady in this room that you will resonate those just as real. The promises, the scriptures, the edification and the lifting up and the wind underneath our wings and the shadow of the Almighty God resting upon us and hiding us in the cleft of the rock when the storm passes by. That you'll hold us in the palm of your hand as it rages and the thunder of our lives sound around us. And the storms over feel like they're going to overshadow us. And we feel like we're crying out, we're going to die if you don't rescue us, God. And the silence of eternity. I pray, Lord, that as each one of us stands in the symbolic time of after the promise and before the fulfillment, that we'll stand and stand firm as people of faith. And we'll believe the Word of God. And we'll trust the Word of God. And we'll stand on your promises. And we'll stand on the promises in your Word. And we'll stand on people who stand beside people who speak into our lives and encourage us and pray for us and hold us up. Lord, as the flip side of every coin, the personal side and the symbolic side. As we see those in our day-to-day lives, Lord, I pray that you would bring into remembrance those two sides of the blessings of God. And if we're dancing in the promise and the personal, we'll celebrate and praise you. And if we're waiting in the quiet times, that we'll stand and stand firm in that time as we are reminded of the symbol. And Lord, we thank you for every lady that's here. We thank you for this lesson. And we praise your holy name in whatever stage we're in. We believe in you and we love you forever and ever. Amen. Amen.